the Public News Service DOI Newscast, November the 1st, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Some New Hampshire Democrats have begun a write-in campaign for President Joe Biden, since his name will no longer appear on the state's 2024 presidential primary ballot.
Biden chose to remove his name when the state announced it would maintain its first-in-the-nation primary status, despite the Democratic National Party moving that top spot to South Carolina. Former New Hampshire Democratic Party Chair Kathleen Sullivan says organizers hope to reach as many voters any way they can.
We don't have any big donors coming in and trying to underwrite the effort. It's truly a New Hampshire-based, New Hampshire grassroots effort.
Sullivan says Biden deserves that effort based on his record in office, although the Biden campaign and state Democratic Party are not involved. At least seven GOP candidates will be on the ballot, including former President Donald Trump. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
New Hampshire election officials say they'll need additional help on election night to process a potentially large number of write-in candidates. And FBI Director Christopher Wray warned on Tuesday that Hamas rampage inside Israel could inspire violence in the U.S., telling lawmakers that multiple foreign extremist groups have called for attacks against Americans and the West in recent weeks. That from the Washington Post. The report, Wray is saying, we assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration, the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate years ago. The Post notes in his testimony before the Senate Homeland Security Committee, Wray gave his most detailed and ominous assessment of potential threats to the U.S. since the October 7 attack. And a new report says factors like geography play a role in assessing Latino wealth gaps in the U.S. The findings are from the Brookings Institution, which says there are regional differences between Latino wealth, assets, and debt.
In the Twin Cities, Elvis Rivera has helped lead financial literacy classes for Communities Organizing Latino Power in Action, or CAPAL. Like the report, he says there's nuance in helping Latinos overcome wealth barriers, noting there are often multiple generations in a household. He says younger family members deserve prosperity too, and it shouldn't be assumed that they're limited to low-wage jobs.
We deserve dignity, we deserve power, and we deserve to be catered to as it relates to laws, policies, and resources.
A separate state summary reveals that Southwest Minnesota has the highest concentration of Latino residents. That's an area where food manufacturing jobs are prominent, underscoring calls from advocates to create more opportunities. And whether it's a food processing plant or a construction site, Rivera says they're also having to respond to an environment where many Latino workers are still being taken advantage of. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. As many as 43 million Americans rely on private wells for their water. Many of them are not tested but contain dangerous levels of toxic chemicals and bacteria. We get the details on this KFF Health News, Iowa News Service collaboration.
There are just under 1,500 private wells in Webster County, right in the middle of the state, but fewer than 400, or about 26%, have been tested for harmful pollutants. Webster County's Environmental Health Officer, Allison Roderick, says well owners are often not aware they need their water tested for things like nitrates, forever chemicals, cancer-causing minerals, and E. coli.
And you don't want to be drinking that. You know, even if you're not drinking the water, you're still using it at some point in your house, whether it's bathing or cooking. I'd say the biggest downfall of not having your well tested is that you're not aware of any possible contaminants.
Iowa makes about $50,000 available for counties to test county residents' well water for free on a regular basis. Roderick says doing that is important in rural Iowa, where farming practices have historically resulted in high levels of contaminants leaching into groundwater and private wells. I'm Mark Moran.
And college students pay upwards of $1,100 a year for books and supplies. Many schools are working to try to reduce that burden.
A study from the U.S. Public Interest Research Group finds the cost of course materials has increased at three times the rate of inflation since the 1970s, due mostly to a lack of competition in the college publishing industry. Kaylin Nagel with the Mikkelsen 20 Million Minds Foundation is a co-author of that report.
We see 65% of students skip buying a textbook due to cost. And 21% of students skip buying an access code because they can't afford it.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Recently, Governor Gavin Newsom signed Assembly Bill 607. It requires colleges and universities to disclose the cost of their courses ahead of time. Finally, Eric Lattice lets us know Colorado schools are joining the struggle to hold off the worst impacts of climate change and lower their energy bills.
By installing solar canopies on top of overheating parking lots, over $33 million from a climate fund approved by Denver voters will be invested to install and maintain canopies at 12 schools and other locations. Emily Gedeon with the city's climate office says schools and communities across Denver will see significant benefits.
The energy produced by these solar panels are going to power the school. The excess energy that's generated is going to be donated by bill credits to DPS families in need.
The canopies are projected to save hundreds of low-income families up to $700 a year on their utility bills.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.